What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode, I believe, 78. And I got a special guest on the show today. I have my boy James Santor. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How about you?
Man, I'm all right, man. Just getting ready for Easter tomorrow. You know, just rest with the family. You know, it's the nice weather out here, things of that nature. How it is up there in Philly?
It's better than it has been, man. It's been 70-ish the last week or two, so definitely a little bit better than usual around here, so hopefully it stays this way. But thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to do this.
Nah, no problem, man. So before we get into the questions and everything, just introduce yourself to the people a little bit.
Sure. So, I'm 25 years old from Voorhees, New Jersey, so right outside of Philadelphia. Grew up a huge Philly sports fan, so as we're doing this, I'm getting ready to get my mind ready for the Sixers playoff game.
Right.
So hopefully they go up 3-1, but we'll see. I went to LaSalle University. I played 4 years of college baseball there. I was a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Got Tommy John surgery my sophomore year, so I was recovering from that, which is a year-long process.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get some internships in the finance world, kind of learn a little bit more about corporate finance and how businesses run as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my internship at Five Below, which I don't know if you're familiar, but it's one of the biggest retail stores in the country right now.
Yeah, we have some. They've been in a lot down here now.
Yeah. And when I started there, there were really only in the Northeast, and then they went public right when I started, and then since then they've grown like 500%. Like, they're all over the country now. So it was pretty cool to see them grow, and I learned so much. So when I graduated college in 2016, and I started working at Independence Blue Cross, which is a Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance company here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I had a finance major, and I started off in cash management investments.
Mm-hmm.
So I was making long and short term investment decisions and kind of managing around $400 million of liquidity on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great job. I loved it. Did it for 2 to 3 years. And after a while, I kind of realized that I didn't have the passion that I once had. I love the company, love the people, but coming from that baseball background, I realized I need to do something that I can go to work every day and attack it like it was, a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So about a few months back, I started looking for, a new job. I came across 76 Capital, which kind of brought together every single thing I've ever been interested in, which is sports, technology, mm-hmm. and finance and investments. So I got the job, and I've been doing this for 2 months now, and it's the happiest and most fun I've ever had. I don't even feel like I'm going to work every day, because what we're doing is so exciting, and it's in an industry that I consume on a daily basis, whether it's watching ESPN or watching my Phillies every night. It's it's all relevant to what we do,
right?
So I live in the city now. Like I was telling you before, I live, 15 minutes away from all the stadiums. What we watch every game, every night. It's great to be in Philly right now. Hopefully we can bring another championship here in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me.
That's what's up, man. So, what was, your beginnings, when you was younger? Did you always want to be in the financial world?
So, my first major in college was political science. Right. So I had goals and aspirations to be a politician.
Mm.
I realized, I did really enjoy those classes, but the thoughts of me finding a job in the political world, I just didn't see it going. After I took the classes and tried learning more about jobs and internships, I realized that it may not have been the thing for me. My dad has always been in business, and I always kind of wanted to be like him.
Mm.
So I went the business route instead, and it was a great decision, and obviously, that's kind of what I do now. Obviously as a kid, all I wanted to do was be a professional baseball player. Fortunately, with injuries and, I'm only, 5'9", 5'10", so it's being a pitcher at that height, it's tough to kind of get seen. If I couldn't be a professional athlete, I wanted to work in sports somehow.
Right.
So, when I started working in insurance, obviously that's not sports. But I was the guy at the office every day that's talking about, the Phillies going to sign Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Is LeBron coming to the Sixers, all that stuff. So I was always the sports guy. So when I found this opportunity that, like I said before, kind of mends everything together,
mm-hmm.
it was something I could never pass up. And again, it's been the best decision I've ever made. And I go to work every day excited. We put the Phillies games on every day. They have a day game. We put on you know, our sports betting show, VSiN, every single day. Mm-hmm. We're always consuming information, and then, you know, it helps us, you know, move forward with our progress of our company.
So, like, how's, like, the day-to-day duties, you know, because you say you're a chief of staff, right?
Yep.
At the 76 Capital. Like, what's your day-to-day duties?
Sure. So, that's actually the best part. My day-to-day duties are never the same. So, you know, I'll give you, like, for example, this past week, you know, Monday I went to the office like normal. We had a few meetings in office, whether it's, you know, phone calls with athletes, phone calls with people that are interested in investing in, or they want to invest in us.
Right.
You know, so we I kind of help manage all that. And, you know, my job really is to manage all strategic relationships and build those strategic relationships, which is something I love doing. I love talking to people and I love networking. So it's kind of right up my alley. So that was Monday. Tuesday, my boss and managing partner, Wayne Kimmel, gave two presentations at Wharton, which is, you know, Penn's, you know, business school, which is highly regarded as the best in the country.
Yeah, one of the
best. You know, to be a, So we, you know, to get to go there, I was kind of, you know, consuming what he was saying, and, you know, he is such a good, you know, speaker. So he was, you know, it gives a very enlightening presentation, and, you know, the kids eat it all up. And they're not even all kids. I mean, some of these kids were 30, and they're like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, making a lot of sense in the topic of sports betting. So it's, you know, it's a space that we're in. But, you know, so it's really doing whatever we have to do to push what our, you know, what we're doing at the time. So right now, sports betting's our big thing, along with some of the other stuff we do, which I'll go over later. But, you know, it changes every day. A lot of presentations, a lot of events where we kind of hear pitches and network. You know, for example, this upcoming Wednesday, Wayne Kimmel, Ryan Howard, who was another managing partner of ours, who former Philly World Series champ, and Brian Westbrook, former Eagles great.
Right.
They're all speaking at a huge sports betting conference at the Meadowlands. So, you know, we'll be going there, supporting them. You know, and it's exciting just to be a part of that. And, you know, it's, we kind of help prep them, help set everything up. And then, you know, when they're presenting, we're watching that. And then afterwards, I'm networking, trying to find out more people that we can, you know, work with in the future.
Right. Yeah, I was watching this documentary on Showtime. It was called Action. Let's talk about, like, the sports betting industry. And, like, one of the people that was like, man, like, if, like certain stuff, like, is legal, why not sports betting, which makes sense because, especially, like, I know about the Northeast, but, like, particularly, like, down south, like, down here, like, we grew up on, like, you know, sports betting, like, from the Artemis League all the way to the pros, you know. And you know, like, as I was watching the documentary, like, I was just like, wow, like, it's really a industry where, you know, people could, like, engage, people could network. Like, it's one of them things where you could actually, you could see people enjoying themselves. Like, I ain't seen no fights or nothing, no negativity. Like, you just there, like, just betting on the games, and you watching every screen and stuff like that. Like, to me, that was amazing.
It's pretty cool, especially, like, around here. So in New Jersey last year, so May 14th passed but was overturned, and sports betting became legal in New Jersey and Delaware, like, shortly thereafter. So, you know, we kind of saw that as an opportunity. Like, I wasn't there yet, but this is, you know, from, this is, you know, kind of what we do is we kind of try to see things before they become, you know, hugely popular. So we saw that PASPA was on the verge of being overturned. We started investing in some companies that had to do with sports betting. And then shortly after that, PASPA was overturned. And now we're, you know, we're located in Philadelphia. So right over the bridge in New Jersey, you have, you know, in-person sports gambling and also mobile sports gambling, which is huge. So, you know, for us, when we go down to the Jersey Shore, me and my friends, you know, we'll open up our phone, you know, we'll throw a few dollars down on the Phillies. We'll throw a few dollars down on whatever's, even Sixers Summer League, whatever's going on. Because we can do it from our phones on the beach. I mean, you really can't. It's crazy. So right now in Pennsylvania, we have in-person sports gambling, and we're on the cusp of getting mobile gambling too. So yeah, just in our locale, it's already happening. So, you know, by the end of this year, hopefully, you know, 15, 20 states, maybe even more, will have sports gambling. So it's a crazy world right now. But that show on Showtime is awesome. And it's something that we kind of showed, like when Wayne was at Wharton the other day, he kind of showed a clip of that to the students saying, hey, if you're interested in finding out more about this, go watch the show. And like, it's awesome you watch it too, because it's so exciting to see. Because, you know, people associate sports gambling with like almost it's a weird, you know, people think of it in a weird way, but it's a completely normal thing. It's like if you can bet on the stock market.
Right. I was just about to say that. Right.
Yeah, it's even more risky because it's not as much of an educated decision. Like, you know, me and you were talking about sports for 15 minutes before this. We can go, you know, you can go bet on FIU and see, you know, you know more about them than anybody else. So it's,
right.
It's, yeah, so it's crazy. And it's really, it's getting the stigma that it's a bad thing away. And I think it's happening rapidly. So it's really exciting.
It is, cause like, you know, as like you see like the Raiders, you know, they going to Vegas and stuff. Only thing, like, people have that stigma of, you know, back like a long time ago, it was like a referee that bet on the game and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, like that was his fault, cause he should know as a referee that you shouldn't even bet on the game, especially a game that you refereeing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, big conflict of interest.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I grew up around people who, you know, like, want to go to casinos, you know, and bet and just enjoy themselves. And it's just like, I always felt like, you know, gambling always had a bad rep. Because when I was watching the documentary, I was like, damn, like, he could have used that money to invest in stocks, but then, you know, I'm an advocate. Like, I'm investing in stocks here and there, and stocks to me is the same thing. Like, you put a certain amount of money down, you see the growth. Like, it'll go up 1 week, and then the next day it'll go down like a large percent, like percentage.
Yeah.
And you know, like someone told me, they was like, you know, life is a gamble in general. So, you know, anything that you do, you taking a risk. Like, whether, you know, you leaving a good paying job, 9 to 5, and you want to go, you know, become an entrepreneur, or even if you're an entrepreneur, but you like, you know what, I want to settle down for a job, or, you know, everything is a gamble. Everything is like a business move. So, like, I just feel like sports gambling in general, it's going to have, especially how, you know, technology and social media is right now, like, it's going to have its own lane. You know, like, it's, I feel like more businesses are going to be created because of that, you know, so.
That's absolutely. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, with legalized sports gambling as opposed to the offshore sports gambling, you know, offshore sports gambling, you know, people give you credit. Like, people don't necessarily have the money that they're betting. And that's when they get into trouble with bookies and issues like that. So now, you know, you can use like PayPal and other means of funding. So you have to have the money, you know, unless you go to, you know, you can still go to a loan shark, I'm sure, to get money. But, you know, most people are going to use the money they have instead of money they don't have. And then they won't have to worry about, you know, the situations you see in movies where you have a bookie coming after you. Like, that's not going to happen anymore now that things are legal. So it really changes things. And, you know, for us, you know, we, like you kind of were saying, the convergence of technology and everything with sports betting, we've invested in a few companies that do that. For instance, we have Swish Analytics, which is a predictive gambling app.
So it kind of
rates lines based upon, you know, what the different books are giving. So, you know, say you want to see what the Sixers Nets, you know, line is today. They'll give that a star rating. So they think you should get bet on it. That's a 5-star rating. And as the game progresses, it gives you in-play, you know, statistics, and it's really cool to see that, because if you want to make an educated decision, you have to use something that's going to help you with that, which is what Swish Analytics does. And we have a few other, you know, data tracking companies that are really have potential to supply data to gamblers. So, you know, I can't really go into depth about how that's going to work, but these tracking companies will take, you know, health data, speed data, all these different things that can potentially help make decisions while gambling. So, and in addition to that, we also have a sports betting network called VSIN, the Vegas Sports and Information Network. Vegas Stats and Information Network, sorry. Owned by Brent Musburger, you know, former broadcaster. He's a legend.
He's a legend.
You know, he's awesome. He's so cool. So to have these different types of investments in the space and to see them all kind of work together to, you know, be that next level of sports gambling, it's been awesome. So it's really cool to see all this stuff.
Yeah, it's like I was on a cruise for my honeymoon, me and my wife.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, man. And it was past December. We went to Mexico. And you know, like, I don't know if you've been on Carnival. Like, they got, like, actual, like, sports bar. And then the TV is, like, huge and stuff like that. So someone was telling me about, like, a app where not only you could bet on the game, but you could bet, like, all right, like, let's say on the first run, like, they show in the documentary that was, like, on the first run, I don't know who, James White ran for, like, 15 yards on the first play. You actually win some type of money, you know, or whatever. Yeah. It's, like, it's bets within bets in the game. And I was, like, wow, like, a few years ago, you can't even do that. You had to bet on the game. You had to bet on the score, on the spread. But now, you know, it's more in-depth. You know, so.
Yeah, in-play sports betting is the future. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and the way I see it is, like, for baseball, for example, you know, say, like, you're in Miami. The right. Marlins, not that much fun to watch most of them. But say say you're at a game, you got tickets or whatever, you're sitting there in the seventh inning, they're down 8-0. You know, what's holding you back from leaving? Oh, wait, you can throw down $5 on, you know, if Jorge Alfaro, former Philly, is going to hit a home run on this next pitch. Like, right. there's different things that can keep you interested in the game that you may not really be interested in. So it kind of changes the experience for the fan, and that's where I think there's an opportunity for all these different leagues, and you know, to kind of capitalize on that, where, you know, your team may not be great, but if you open a sports book or you open something in the stadium where you allow sport mobile in-game sports betting, mm-hmm. it's going to change, you know, the way people consume the game. So it's really exciting, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And yeah. see how this continues to develop. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like index stocks, like how they got, like, you know, now you could have different stocks in one stock, and it's like spread it. So it's pretty much like you put as much money in, and it's like at the end of the day, you're gonna get the money that you're gonna, you know, get versus investing in one stock. But you got like a group stock, and like they got different stocks broken down. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see it when they do like the little place bets. I kind of compare that to the index stocks, man.
You can kind of hedge against yourself. You know? Yeah. You may be losing, you know, again, the Marlins may be losing even if you took them money line or something, but you can make some of that money back inside of the game, which is, it's fun. I mean, it's could be dangerous if you're not smart about the way you're making your bets, but that's, you know, that's a whole other story. So, you know, if you kind of know what you're doing, you can really hedge against yourself.
Yeah, man, It's wild, man, but it's the future, man. So why is like sports tech VC important for the sports industry and athletes?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because, you know, there's some guys already, like KD has his own venture capital company.
Yeah,
you know, Steph and Iggy are involved, and others. Plenty of other players have these. Actually, Serena Williams just announced that she has had her own venture capital company for the last few years. It was kind of a secret, and then they just announced it about 2 days ago. But, you know, what we're doing is really giving athletes an opportunity to understand venture capital, understand these different investments where it's not, you know, they don't have to be fully involved. You know, we kind of give them the ability to learn, and they can do as much as they want or as little as they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, we have an athlete venture group right now. It's Ryan Howard, Ryan Westbrook, DeMarco Murray, and Ralph Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all those guys are really involved. And, you know, we look for the right type of guys that want to learn, they want to be a part of this, and you know, see the future. And it's not like they just invest and sit back. Mm-hmm. They invest, and they're pitching us companies. They're calling us, saying, hey, I see that, you know, Shot Tracker's doing this, which is our basketball data company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just as excited about this stuff as us. So, you know, when a lot of guys get pitched these investment ideas from friends or family or just people, you know, they don't really know what to do with it. They feel like maybe they're obligated to do it. They're not sure. So where we come into play is we kind of help them see the types of things maybe they should invest in, give them, you know, financial support, like financial decision support around that. You know, and on the other side, just sports and technology, they've always been associated, but especially now, as, you know, technology is advancing.
Mm-hmm.
And sports are becoming even more popular, and you know, the convergence of the two is going to be the future of sports. You know, preventing injuries. You know, again, understanding how data impacts sports betting—it's it's crazy. And you know, it's really exciting to be in this field because there's so much potential, and it changes every day. Every day, there's a new company changing the world of sports, and we want to find that company.
Right.
So you know, like I said, we kind of use, you know, our investors and then our athletes to kind of help find that. And, you know, sometimes the athletes give a different perspective that we can have because, you know, like I played college baseball, but I certainly didn't play in the majors. Right. You know, Ryan Howard can see, you know, like Diamond Kinetics, which is one of our newer investments. It's this crazy technology where they have a sensor inside of a baseball and inside of a bat. And instead of these thousands of dollars that people spend on these other tracking systems, the ball is $100 and the tracker is $100 for the bat. You can, it's, you know, it's its own radar gun. It tracks the rotations per second. It tracks the depth of the pitch. Everything you could possibly want from that. So, you know, I'm excited to be using that because I still play right now.
Right.
You know, I can see how hard I'm throwing, what everything looks like. The bat, you know, you can see your swing speed, how hard the ball is hit off the bat. You know, and it also helps prevent injuries. Like, you can kind of track everything that goes around baseball. So when Ryan saw that, and he's like, wow, this is something I wish I had when I played.
Right.
He's like, this is something we should invest in. So kind of using not just their personalities and their names, we wanted the people themselves to kind of tell us what we should be doing.
Right.
So it's kind of a multi-beneficial relationship between us and the athletes to find that next big thing in sports and try to help, you know, we're hoping to change the world of sports and in general. So it's amazing.
Right. Like, I had a squash player on my podcast, and he actually got like different partnerships with different you know, performance enhancers, like companies, athletic companies, like, so like I forgot one of the names, but they basically like what's the name of it, the one of the companies, but what it does is like it tracks your heart rate.
Yeah.
You know, so he was telling me like that, like when he was playing, and like they show him like they show him like his heart rate and everything, like it actually helped him for his next match, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's true, like, you know, you have all these, you know, up and coming companies that's willing to, you know, not only benefit like the athletes, but like financially, but also health wise, and we need that, you know. You can think about it, about 10, 15, 20 years ago, like, in every sport, football, basketball, baseball, like, you even talk about the time, what's it called, the surgery that you have, what's it called?
The Tommy John surgery,
like, how that was so recent, and, like, how that, like, helped, you know, not only pitchers, but also, like, quarterbacks and things of that nature, like, regain not only they health from the injury, but regain like they shrimp, like they feel like 10 times better than before.
Absolutely. And it's like a company like Diamond Kinetics, like if I had that ball and I was tracking my bullpens and I was tracking everything I was doing in college, I may not have had Tommy John. I may not have had to miss another year of playing college baseball because I was more aware of what my body was feeling, telling me. You know, I missed the signs, and when my elbow snapped, it sucked. Yeah, I had to miss a whole another year of baseball. And, you know, I came back throwing harder, and then eventually my shoulder went. So it was just like, you know, I kind of had done so much damage at that time that it was, you know, irrefixable. But, you know, now there's technology that helps prevent that. So, you know, again, our whole thing is we want that next generation of athletes to not have to go through what I had to go through and be able to understand. And this is for coaches and parents, too, to understand, you know, the warning signs, and so they can help their kids, you know, play sports as long as they possibly can. And then Shot Tracker, which is our basketball version of Diamond Kinetics, literally has sensors in the ball and in every jersey. So you can track as a coach and even as a fan the amount of miles a player's run, the speed they're running. You can see whether, you know, in the fourth quarter of a game, you know, say that Warriors-Clippers game the other night where, you know, the Clippers ended up winning.
Yeah.
You know, we could have maybe foreseen Steph missing that last shot because in the last 2 minutes of that fourth quarter, he was taxing his body an extra, you know, he was running an extra 0.25 miles down the court every single time. Like, something crazy like that.
That's amazing.
He did something extra where he's so tired that he couldn't have made that shot. And it's just kind of tracking that and then helping to prevent injuries again. So, and that's been used in the Mountain West Conference Championship this year. Hopefully we have some more deals with some other conferences next year. But, I mean, there's so much value in that. We have, you know, there's so many partnerships they have with, like, I know they just signed Missouri the other day, which is the, you know, Power Five school. So, you know, they're seeing the value of all this type of technology. And it's going to, again, Missouri's had two players, brothers, sit out full seasons the last 2 years, with Jonte and Michael Porter. You know, they see there's an issue with that, and how can they fix that? a company like we invest in, like Shot Tracker, can help them, you know, not have that happen in the future.
Yeah, because Michael Porter, we be forgetting, like, Denver got Michael Porter. Michael Porter, to me, is the next KD. Like, he's, like, 7 feet almost shooting and just moving that way. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous, man. But also, the reason why I actually wanted to ask you that question, too, and I'm glad you had a great answer to it, is that now that athletes, you know, My whole thing was, like, because I'm going for my doctorate in sports, and, like, the main thing I always talk about, thank you, man, and the main thing I always talk about is athletes should learn how to invest their money. You know, they should, you know, not just spending on, you know, like, spend it crazy and stuff and save it or whatever. Like, just really put action to their money, make the money, you know, work for them, instead of, like, trying to work so hard to get the next big contract where, you know, you end up spending the money again, you know, in unnecessary ways.
And that's, like, the crazy thing, too, because, I mean, you look back, I guess, the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. you know, everybody had 4 or 5 cars. They were buying, you know, whole new wardrobes every time they went to a new city. Like, the money was spent in a completely different way. And now it's like, you know, again, this is really KD, Steph, all the guys in the Silicon Valley out there, mm-hmm. the Warriors. It's cool to be an investor. Like, guys, mm-hmm. you know, they share their investments. It's like, hey, man, I'm invested in this company. And they're like, oh, really? Like, I want to get in on that, too. Like, that's the new thing. Like, it's the cool thing to do now is be fiscally responsible and, you know, be smart with your money and kind of invest in these companies early on. Like, it's really amazing. And, you know, it's great for the players, it's great for the companies, and it's just great for sports.
Yeah, like I seen Iggy, Andre Iguodala, like, his portfolio is crazy, and it's like, you know, he's like, man, I'm about to retire soon, and I want to be set up for life after basketball, and he want to try to, you know, teach other athletes to do the same, because, you know, sports is not forever, you know, so, you know, might as well just try to figure out, save up money, invest the money, so when you well off, after you retire, you know, not only you'll bring more opportunities for yourself, but also for your family and, you know, their kids and, you know, your great-grandkids and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, for sure, and kind of like I was saying earlier, like, with us, like, an athlete can invest and they can be as involved or not as involved as they want to be. Mm-hmm. Usually they want to be involved, but, like, it gets, like, for DeMarco Murray, he's an investor in us. He's part of our athlete venture group. Mm-hmm. He's also the running backs coach at the University of Arizona. So he has this portfolio of companies right now through us, and he's also still able to, you know, be a running backs coach in a Division I college football program. Mm-hmm. So he's able to kind of do the best of both worlds and enjoy and do what he wants to do as part of his retirement, because we're helping him manage that portfolio. So it's really cool to kind of see that relationship work and, you know, kind of have these guys be able to do what they want to do while also being fiscally responsible. Like, and that's what it all comes down to. And we were actually on a panel with Iguodala, I guess it was last year, and, you know, he kind of shared that same vision that you kind of just said and I was just kind of saying. So it's really cool to see those veteran players taking the younger guys under their wing and saying, hey, this is what you should be doing. And they listen now. So it's really cool.
Yeah, man, I just want to see, like, athletes, like, just grow. Like, I see even DeSean Jackson, like, he got his podcast going and everything. And, you know, I just want athletes to continue to just, you know, break off in different ventures. Like, we were talking about Grunt, like, how he retired. And Grunt could be, like, one of the youngest Hall of Famers. He only going to be, like, 34, 35 when he get in. But, like, you know, I remember him and Marshawn Lynch talked about how they never spent, I believe, they salary money, the actual salary money. They used their sponsorship money, but they saved their salary money. So it's just like, it's great to see athletes, you know, moving in the right direction in terms of finances, you know, because I remember that 30 for 30, broke, when we talked about the athletes and, like, how they spent so much money, like, it's just, it was sad, and, like,
I felt, it really is.
Yeah, so, What was like your top five moments working with Six Capital so far? 76 Capital so far.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, again, I've only been here for 2 months, but that's the cool thing. I already have, you know, five things that are just amazing. So, yeah, number one, I'd say I got to go to it was called the AGA Sports Betting Executive Summit in Washington D.C. about 3 weeks ago, and that was really cool because I got to go with my dad. So right. my dad was there. He works in this type of industry too. So, kind of get to go to a conference with my own dad, being there for two totally different reasons, but just like, you know, we're meeting people and. You know, they're like, are you guys father, son? I'm like, yes, we are.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool experience because, you know, not many people got to do something like that. So it was something that, you know, I'll remember forever. I'll cherish that. It was really cool. Yeah. Number two, I got to go play basketball at Madison Square Garden with Brian Westbrook.
That's what's up.
So, you know, he's one of my favorite players growing up. He's a baller, by the way. Thank God we had him because I missed about 15 layups. So, we ended up winning both games we played, and it was just a really cool experience. You know, and we were there on behalf of one of our investors. So it was a really cool way to kind of network and kind of just, you know, it was just awesome. It was an amazing experience. It was really cool. Number three was actually Monday night. Ryan Howard called his first game on ESPN.
Yeah, so
our
seen
whole company
that.
Went. Yeah, our whole company went. We were there to support him. Actually, we got to sit front row right behind home plate, which I never got to do before. So it's going to be really tough to go to another Phillies game not doing that because it was like, it was awesome. So it was great. And then to see Ryan just be so successful, you know, calling the game. He's a natural in the booth. Just an awesome guy. So it's exciting to see him take that next step in his career as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, number four, I'd say it was my first night being a part of 76 Capital. Got a call from our operations director, Chad Stender. He's like, hey man, what are you doing right now? I was like, you know, I'm just I'm doing a little shopping, getting some clothes from work Monday. And he's like, how about you meet us in the city? We're having dinner with Ryan Howard on Friday night. And I was like, seriously? Like, let's do it. Like, I'll be there. Like, I dropped everything I was doing and I went there. And for my first night of work to be having dinner with one of my childhood idols, now my boss, it was amazing. So it was just something, you know, and immediately it wasn't like, hey man, like, I remember watching you, like, thank you for the World Series. It was more like, hey, let's talk about baseball and possible investments. And like, it was just a different conversation you never imagined having with your childhood idol. So it's like, it was so cool to kind of have that. And that was my first experience as part of this job. And I'd say, you know, last Friday, actually, we were at Villanova. Brian Westbrook was speaking on a panel with, you know, Michael Rubin was there. It was just a really cool experience to kind of go and hear some of these guys talk about different ways they think the future of sports is going to be going on. Mm-hmm. Darren Rebell was there, too. I got to talk to Darren for a while. You know, he's one of those guys in the industry that, you know, I saw his tweets when I was a freshman in college, and it really changed my perspective on sports because, you know, the way you consume sports when you're in high school and stuff, you think it's just the, you know, wins and losses, that's it. And then you see Darren Revelle tweeting about the financial impact every single, you know, sponsorship, every single thing that somebody does in a game, the money impact and the financial impact. So, you know, kind of getting to talk to him a little bit more and hearing him talk, you know, on a panel, it was just a really cool experience. And Westbrook is so good on panels too, so it was really cool seeing him be really successful up there. So it's just, you know, those are some really cool experiences I've had so far. There's so many more coming down the road. I can't wait to, you know, kind of continue with this.
Yeah, you know, keep me up to date with that, man. Because I'm really following it because I really want to get into. I was talking to my wife one day, and I was just like, you know, I grew up, you know, wanting to get in technology. You know, because I started off wanting to be like a computer engineer and stuff like that. But I was like, I don't want to do that no more. Like, I want to, you know, get into, like, sports administration because I always told myself I want to be an agent one day. And, but I really wanted to get involved in the sports industry, even if I don't, you know, become an agent. Like, I want to, you know, get involved. And I was reading something on TechCrunch, and I'm just like, you know, like, I want to really get into tech because, like, I'm interested in the esports, you know, in the esports atmosphere. And I was just like, you know, I just want to, you know, somehow, some way, like, figure out how I can, you know, network with people like yourself and just, you know, build relationships and somehow, some way, like, just create something, you know.
Yeah.
One day, especially down here in Miami. Like, Miami, it's a beautiful place, but, you know, people tend to forget that, you know, it's still in the South. And, you know, as, like, for Southern cities, like, we develop a little bit slower than, you know, like, the major cities, like, New York, Philly, L.A., you know, Chicago. So, I was just like, you know, one day, one of my goals is to bring esports down here in Miami. You know, yeah. In Florida in general, but, like, particularly in South Florida, so it could build up in Florida, because there's so many gamers down here. Like, I see, like, NBA, like, NBA 2K, like, you could actually be, like, an owner of, like, an esports team. And I was like, I really want to do that, you know, like, and soccer down here has risen over the past 10 years. So it's like, and then you got Beckham bringing the team down here. So it's just like, I'm just trying to figure out ways to, you know, maneuver and things like that, you know, as time goes by.
Yeah, we're really involved in esports too, and that's something that it's kind of esports and sports betting were the two things recently that we were like, all right, let's get in on this before it gets really popular.
Right.
So our one company is called Nerd Street Gamers. It's really the first amateur esports, you know, center. So we have this. We have a location in Philly and a location in Denver. Mm-hmm. But what it is, it runs tournaments for amateur esports players. So, and these places are awesome. Like, I went and visited 2 weeks ago, and it's really just it's a gamer's paradise. You know, you have, I think, like 100, 200 computer screens with all the highest tech equipment. You can play any game you want to. You know, again, there's tournaments. You can, you know, win money. You can win, you know, chances to play national championships. And it's every game. So, you know, it's providing an opportunity because as esports continues to grow and you can get scholarships for it, you know, and it's a viable career option for some people.
Right.
So it's like, how do you have a minor league theater system to professional gaming? So Nerd Street Gamers is kind of that. So they have all different levels. They're having, again, a national championship series this year they're hosting, and the finals are in Denver in December.
Mm-hmm.
But and, you know, like college scouts for esports teams will be at these types of things,
mm-hmm.
and you get a college scholarship out of it. So it's kind of taking that stigma away from gaming that it's just for kids or it's not a real thing. It's a real thing now.
Yeah.
There's so much money to be made, and it's exciting, and you know, we're excited to be a part of it. And see, Nerd Street Gamers is growing so much, and they're expanding across the country this year. So,
yeah, it is, and it's crazy because I just found out that the school I'm at, they have an esports team. So it's like colleges actually are into esports, like slowly, like, and it's and that's why I was like, you know what, I really want to get into it because it's still growing. Like same thing with podcasting, like it's still growing industry, you know. So yeah, man. And before
it's exciting.
Yeah, it is, man. Like it's just exciting to think about the different opportunities that we have, you know, not even just in the sports industry but all industries, you know. Yeah, man. So before I let you go, because I know you got to get ready for that 76ers game, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
So, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, I'm hoping to kind of be managing partner at 76 Capital. Mm-hmm. And if not that, I want to be, you know, running a startup, doing something where, you know, maybe Wayne and Ryan are invested in me and I'm working with them. So, you know, I want to be at that next level because, you know, right now, I understand the sports industry. I understand the tech industry. Mm-hmm. I want to understand the venture capital side a lot. So that's where I'm really focusing my learning right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, it's been such a, you know, I'm in the weeds of everything. I'm learning everything, and I'm trying really quickly to understand the venture side too. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping within a few years I can kind of get that understanding and I can really make an impact on these companies and, you know, kind of have enough decision-making ability where I can kind of be a managing partner one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's exciting to think about, and it kind of keeps me going every day. But, you know, why not have that ambition? You know, like that's kind of how Wayne got his start. And he has a book out there that if you haven't read it, it's called 6 Degrees of Wayne Kimmel. And it, you know, I read that before my interview and it got me so fired up because, you know, he was a lawyer at the age of 29. And, you know, all of a sudden he was like, you know what? I like what these venture capitalists are doing. I want to do that. A few years later, he has his own venture capital fund. And so it can happen quickly. And it's all about having that ambition and drive. So, you know, I'm trying to follow his lead and kind of be in that same boat. You know, I want to make companies better and change the world. You know, that's kind of what we're all about. So, that's what I'm hoping to be in 5 to 10 years. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, trying to keep it going right now.
Well, like I tell everyone, don't forget about me, because I'm here. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll have some type of adventures, you know, in the future. But yeah, man, that's really what's up, man. Like, it's a beautiful thing, you know, like I said, to see the industry grow, you know, to have people like yourself, you know, helping, you know, evolve the industry, you know, especially when it comes to tech and venture capitalists and things of that nature, esports, you know, even with me, with the media, with the podcast and the stuff like that, it's a beautiful thing, man. Like, you know, we millennials, so.
For sure. Yeah, I know. This is what we're supposed to be doing. So now we got to make the best of it and, you know, got to make this the future.
Right. So you got any shout-outs before we officially close it out?
Sure. You know, shout-out 76 Capital. You know, thank you for the opportunity to give me this position. And, you know, I think we're doing awesome things right now. So Wayne, Chad, Jess, Ryan, John, thank you guys. I'm excited to be a part of the company and see the future. You know, obviously, shout out my family. Thank you for, you know, everything you've taught me down the road, and, you know, thank you for having me on the podcast. This is awesome. You got an awesome, you know, podcast going, and I'm excited to, you know, see the future for you as well. And I hopefully be back on in, you know, a few months, a few years, whatever you want me to do. So.
Man, thank you. Nah, man, thank you again. You know, for coming on the show, like, for taking your time. Cause I know you're busy. And, you know, you gonna come back on the show. You know, just don't, like I said, don't forget about your boy.
But yeah, man, I got you, man.
That's what's up, man. But this has been your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 78 with James Santor, and we out.